It just entered, in a certain sense, the home stretch of Hilchas Mezuzah, which is also in many ways probably the most halacha lamasa. Last week we spent time on the final topic in Resh Pei Vav, the issue of rentals and ownership, which comes up plenty. And now we turn our attention, beginning this week, to Simen Resh Pei Zayin, which is moving from Resh Pei Vav, which was officially all about the halachas of which batim are chayiv, the tanaim of the dira, and the tanaim of the structure of the room, to Resh Pei Zayin, which is all about the halachas of psachim, which psachim are chayiv, which are not. A much smaller, shorter simen, but in terms of the frequency of how often it comes up, lamaisa, this simen comes up plenty. Then we're going to move after it, Mitzvah to Resh Sadi Aleph. We'll have a chance to work on Bedikas Mezuzahs, and when you have the right to take down Mezuzahs, both of which come up a lot. I think some Rabbanim feel that taking down Mezuzahs is the Shiloh they get more often than any other Shiloh Hilchos Mezuzah. And then in Mirtz Hashem, right after Purim, we'll have a chance to hear Rav Mendelowitz. That will bring us back to Resh Peches and Resh Tzadi, to the Safras aspects of Hilchos Mezuzah. So we'll begin Resh Pei Zayin right now. We're holding off on Sif Beis until next week, and it could be some of the Sif Aleph discussions. We'll wait till next week also. There's a lot to talk about. So let's get started. Let's jump in here. The Rambam, when he gives us the ten tanam, beginning of Perek Vav of Hilchos Mezuzah, so he mentions early in the list of the ten tanam, there's no chi of mezuzah unless there's two. Tonight number two is asked, you have to have two mezuzahs. Tonight number three is you have to have a mashkof, both of which are tanam in the tzura of the Pesach. And tonight number four is you have to have a tikra. You have to have a roof. Then it goes back to what's lechora more tanam of the Pesach, you have to have delasos, that already came up in Resh Pei Vav, and the height of the doorway has to be 10 tvachim or more. This principle of tikra, the need for a roof, so that's really part of the Tzuras Habayis. It could have gone along with the other tanai in the Tzuras Habayis, which is Arba Amos Arba Amos. The Rambam saw fit to put that in the middle of the rules of Tanoi HaPesach. Perhaps because the Gemara might put them together. And that's the Gemara that appears in Lamed Gimel Amud Beis and Menachos. Appears as well as you saw in Erevin, Daf Yud Aleph. This week's Maror Makomos overlap with Erevin Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, and next week's Maror Makomos overlap with Erevin Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Erevin Yud Aleph is about the dinim, one of the focuses in terms of the dinim of Tzuras HaPesach in terms of Mechitzas for Shabbos. There seems to be a fair amount of overlap between Tzuras HaPesach by Erevin and Tzuras HaPesach by Mezuzah, which is something the Chazon Ish draws our attention to. So again, you have a Gemara Lamagil and Beis in Menachos. It also appears in Erevin Yud Aleph that the Pischei Shimoi, these inappropriate doorways, different Rishonim have different understandings of what the word Shimoi is, but these are inadequate doorways. Poorly constructed, inadequate doorways, pater from mezuzah. What are pischei shimoi? So pligi berav rechume and abayosi. One says less luhu tikra, one says less luhu shakufi. So what each of those terms means is a good question. But tikra, the simplest meaning of tikra is that it means roof, in which case mashkof means the lintel, the top post of the doorway. It may be that these two, Din and Mashkof and Tikra, come from the same Gemara, which perhaps is why the Ram put them together. We already spoke about this a little bit, whether Tikra actually means a roof or not. The other option is that Tikra means not the roof of the room, the roof of the bayis, but instead it means the Mashkof of the doorway. We saw that the Rishonim had raised that when, going back to the beginning of Resh Pei Vav, when the Rush raises the question, you have a Gemara in Bryson in Yuma, the Sharech Hatzer Sochayev and Mezuzah, so how do you make sense? Either Chatzer doesn't have a roof. So we had seen at the time three solutions. We focused on two of them. The two that we focused on, the Rush of Ben Manoach, is either you're right, with no roof, you're pater, but we ignore it if it's normal, like by a chater, it's tashmishe pekach, the position of the Rosh, or the position of Beinu Noach, that you're right without a roof is pater, and taka the chater is pater, shar chater is a chay, because it's a shar, it's mevili de the batim have a roof. There was a third approach that Rosh and Mordechai pointed out, which was, well, maybe you see from here, because I'm tight, if you see from here that you taka don't need a roof, shar chater is a chay, must you don't need a roof. Either is Gemara, who says this means a roof? So that conversation we had already had. We will come back to this Gemara shortly. But that sort of opens the conversation about the parts that are necessary to have Pitzimim and to have a Mashkov, certainly, and maybe to have a roof as well in terms of the bais. Now, the question, again, the question in terms of the Tzuras HaPesach, so as you saw, the Gemara on Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph has a discussion about how many mezuzos do you need? How many mezuzos do you need? That's the, in a certain sense, the easiest question, the most straightforward question in terms of Tzuras HaPesach. And interestingly, in the Shulchan Aruch, it's the only question that he discusses in Sifal, is the need for a particular number of mezuzahs as well as a mashkev. Where does that come? That comes to the Gemara Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, the longer piece of Gemara, the latter half of the narrow lines Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara has two different girsos. Either Rav Papa or Rav Mari goes to visit Mar Shmuel, and he sees that Mar Shmuel has mezuzah, and the visitor thinks it's absolutely wrong, and that seems to be Maskanas HaSugya. What the visitor did was that the way the visitor is correct, the way the mezuzah was up in the house that he was visiting, the house of Mar Shmuel, was absolutely wrong. What was wrong? So that's the question. What was wrong with that, with the Kviyas HaMezuzah? So he had a Pitzim only Mismal. There was no post on the right side. There was only a post on the left side. So Rav Papa or Rav Mari, whoever the visitor was, says, what did you do here? There was no post on the right side. There was only a post on the left side. There was a mezuzah, obviously, on the left side. So he said, what are you doing? You follow Rav Meir? No, Rav Meir never said such a thing. Rav Meir only said if you have mezuzah on the right. The Gemara backs up to explain the need for right. Okay, so that we've come across already. The focus here is that right is absolutely ma'akiv. If the only pitzim is on the left, you wouldn't say, well, put a mezuzah on the left because you don't have an option on the right. No, right is absolutely ma'akiv. If there is no opportunity to put a mezuzah on the right, then there is no mezuzah whatsoever. Right is fundamentally, is categorically ma'akev. Ah. But then the Gemara explains that the Rav Papa or Rav Mari had made reference to Machlokas HaTanam, and what was that? So that's the Machlokas Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Is there a Chav hold is only a Chiv Mezuzah if you have Shnei Pitzimim? You have to have Pitzim on both sides. Rav Meir held enough to have one Pitzim. So the Rav Papa or Rav Mari was explaining where Rav Meir said one Pitzim, he meant specifically Miyamin. Even Rav Meir never dreamt that you would have a chi of mezuzah when there's only pitzim mismal. That's out of the question, because there's nowhere to put it. You can't put a mezuzah mismal. Rav Meir held, but if you have a pitzim on the right side, so then you can put a mezuzah on the right side, despite the fact that on the left side there is no pitzim. And the Chacham disagrees, so there's no chi of mezuzah unless you have pitzim on both sides. And then the Gemara goes on to explain the source for a mayor. And the source for a mayor sounds like a sefrei, a machlokas Rabbi Akiva Rishmal. What's interesting, Rabbi Akiva Rishmal are two generations, before a mayor. A mayor is one of the Talmidim in Rabbi Akiva's second yeshiva. And what's interesting about this machlokas Rabbi Akiva Rishmal is they don't really seem to disagree with each other, la halacha. Just a question of how you darshan. We know that it was a fundamental machlokas. There were several fundamental machlokas and several methodological machlokas between Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Shmuel in terms of Hara Darshan, Klal Prat versus Miyut Riboy. Do you say Dibur Tarko Lashon Bayazim or not? And oftentimes those machlokas lead to practical halachah ma'aseh differences. But here there is no difference. They both, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, agree that your chayiv, the chayiv mezuzah, even if there's only one pitzim. It's just a machlokas of how you get there. Rishmael derives it from the fact that the Torah mezuzah sounds like in Yituch Savta mezuzah Pesecha. The Torah says it twice in Vaschan and Ekev, Eimir Achamir El Rabos. So now you end up instead with not requiring two pitzimim, two mezuzos. And Rabbi Kiva has a different type of drasha. Drasha that should be familiar for those, to those who learned Maseches Makos, it's the same style. Says, why does the Torah have to tell us a couple of weeks ago in Leining, in Parshas Bo, Alam Mashkof al Shteha Mezuzos? Should have just said Alam Mashkof al Mezuzos. Mezuzos is Lashon Rabim. It's understood that's two. Why the Torah specifies Shteha Mezuzos, which seems redundant? Lamedcha, and normally when we say Mezuzos, we mean even one. That's that by age as well, that type of drasha. So, but both Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva are different drashas, but they both come to the same conclusion, which is you only need one mezuzah in order to have a chiyuv mezuzah. You only need one patzim in order to have the mitzvah mezuzah to apply. So that's the way it plays out in the Gemara. La halacha, so it is, as we've seen, most issues in Hilchos Mezuzah are Machlokas, Rambam, and Rosh. Some quote the Rif as aligned with the Rambam also, though it's really hard to know where the Rif holds. The Rif just quotes the Gemara straight. But the Rambam is very clear, as we read before. Rambam is very, very clear in Halacha Aleph, Perek Vav Halacha Aleph. Condition number two of the ten conditions in each day, mezuzahs. He doesn't really feel the need to repeat it when he gets to the details in Halacha Gimel, because he already said it. You need Shtei Mezuzos. It comes up in Meila when he says, Afal Pi Sheisha Shnei Ptzimim, Mezuzah Mikam, but he already said it explicitly in the Tanoi Mezuzah, in Perek Vav Halacha Aleph, you need Shtei Mezuzos. That is like the Chachamim. And the Rosh, you read to the very, very end of Siman Yudalid, he says, it seems to him, he quotes the Rif, and then he's Kedarko, he always quotes the Rif, and then he often adds. So he adds that, and by the way, the Rif didn't say this. But the Rosh adds, and by the way, I think we should pass him like Remeir. There are two reasons to pass him like Remeir, both of which the Gro quotes as well. And that is number one, well, the simplest one is that both the Rabbi Akiva and Rishmal hold like Remeir. That's pretty significant. Rabbi Akiva in particular is unusually significant halacha l'maisa. So it's not a simple yachid v'rabim, not Rabbi Meir against the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir has two of the gedolei ha'tanam of the previous dar both agreed with him. And they usually disagree with each other. Plus, the language of the Gemara earlier, Rav Papa of Mari says to Mar Shmuel, yes, of course, Rav Meir said p'tzim echad, be'emar d'amar Rav Meir p'tzim echad, only if it's p'tzim yimin. So it sounds like he's taking Rav Meir seriously. Halach l'maisa shulchan aruch, so the Mechaber, as we said, this is really the one issue that he takes a stand on, in Sifal, v'ena pesach chayv mezuzah el imikin yishol shtei mezuzos umashkov. Kedarko v'akodesh, the Mechaber, as he so often does, is quoting the language of the Rambam, almost verbatim, and the Be'er HaGola, as he typically does in such situations, points out to the Be'er HaGola himself. I'm sorry, I take that back. He does not. The Be'er HaGola does not point out. That's Lashon HaRambam. He points out in the next sermon. But it is almost verbatim Lashon HaRambam. And the Shach and the Groh say, not so fast. They say, not so fast. The Rosh and the Tur assumed the opposite. The Rosh and the Tur assumed the opposite. The Rosh and the Tur assume that if you have one Pitzim, as long as the Pitzim is on the right side, the Shach quotes the Rosh and the Tur and Rabbein Yeruchim. And therefore he says it's at least a Suffolk Chiyuv Mezuzah. The Niradik Benabullah Bracha, the Gur as well. The first of Cotton, he says, the Rambam, the Mechaber is Pasnei the Chavim, but the Rosh and the Tur disagreed. And he lines up both reasons very quickly. Number one, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva hold like Rabbi Meir. Plus, the language of the Gemara earlier, Kaman Kri Meir, Emadam Rabbi Meir, we're handling with Rabbi Meir. It seems to be very comfortable with that as long as you recognize the difference between yamin and small. So halacha lamasa, I believe we do, at least Ashkenazim, follow the shach, that in a situation where you have a pitzimi min but not mi small, you would put up a mezuzah, you would not make a bracha there. Again, as we've said many times in the past, you know, as much as possible, you put up mezuzah, when you're moving into a new place, you put up a whole slew of mezuzahs, so you try to make sure that the first mezuzah you put up is going to be one that's vadei chayim, and you make the bracha there, and then you cover your bases. If a mezuzah fell down, chas v'shalom, it has to be put back up, and then in that case, in principle, should be with the mezuzah, with a bracha rather. Or if you move into a place that already has a lot of mezuzahs, now you're just filling in the gaps, so sometimes you don't get have that luxury. It could be the place in which Avada Chayiv already has mezuzahs. You're just putting up, you know, in the place which are suffic. So then in such a situation, this would not call for a mezuzah. If you have a pitzimi yamin, but not mismal. Again, if it's only pitzimi small, it's Avadai Pater. Just had that 2 weeks ago. Went to see someone. A fellow just got married, moved into an apartment, and they managed to have a tremendous number of suffic, numerous, at least two or three, sveikas and hilchas mezuzah in a studio apartment, which is really quite an accomplishment. So one of the doorways was pater because they had a. Once you figure out what the orientation of the doorway is, so there was a p'tzimi small, but not mi'min, so that's taka pater. If it's p'tzimi mi'min, but not mi'small, so you're put up without a bracha. Now the shach here quotes from the Rosh. I mentioned that this is the simpler question of this sif, and the only one that the Mechaber seems to deal with, it's a question of the number of mezuzahs. Now the Rosh, here the Shach, Sifkan Al, Dasa Rosh Vatur, Kfil Ein Lo El Mezuzah Achas. Even if you only have one mezuzah, still to be Chayiv, and here quotes the Rosh's explanation, which the Torah quotes as well, of what exactly that looks like. Why does it look like you only have one mezuzah? And what's happening on the other side? It's wide open? The house just disappears, vaporizes? Like what is on the other side? Isn't there something on the other side also? So the Shach quotes in the Rosh, Kigon Shemitzad Echad Ovi HaKosa Lahala Meha Pesach. On the other side, the wall runs straight. Ooh, another marker. I neglected to bring a marker, which is a shame. Baruch Hashem. Fantastic. Thank you so much. So the Shach quotes from the Rosh, so let's see, if you're entering this way, and here's my pitzim, so I can put a mezuzah right over here. If I'm entering this way, and here's my pitzim, it's small, so here there's no chiyuv mezuzah. But here there is a chiyuv mezuzah, at least according to the Rosh. Well, what's going on over here? What's going on over here is it goes straight like that. On the opposing side, the wall runs straight. So that's called not a tzim. There's nothing there. So imagine, let's say, over here. Use a little bit of imagination. So this pillar, as we discussed, is not actually a tzim for a wide variety of reasons. But let's imagine that this was a room, and there's a wall over there, and here, this, and imagine it wasn't as wide also. Use a lot of imagination. So much imagination. And then this one's better. We'll use slightly less imagination. So imagine I'm walking out of a room. Imagine this is this is me and Min. But over here, you see the wall just goes straight ahead. So if I work out my Reish Peites issues, I work my direction of Knisa, because again, this is where the Gemara mentioned it. Gemara mentioned the whole discussion between a Knesset in the context of Tzimi Min, Tzimi Small. So I have to figure out which is the Knesset. If the Knesset is going this way, so the Tzim is Min, then I'm also going to put the Mezuzah over here. If the Knesset is this way, so the Tzim is Small, there's no Chiyuv Mezuzah. But again, why? Because this is not a straight wall that just goes parallel to the direction of Knesset. That's not called That's not called a pitzim
at all. The reason why the Rush takes so many such pains to explain what's going on the other side of the straight wall is because of the other issue that comes up here, and because of the Rush's specific position on that. And the other issue, if one issue in the sif is what's the number of mezuzahs that you need in order to be chayiv in mezuzah, that's the issue that the Shulchan Aruch did address. The other issue, which Shulchan Aruch did not address, is the previous piece of Gemara, the much smaller piece of Gemara, the Pischa de Akrana, or Pischa de Akdana, different to yourselves, the Beis Yosef, I think, has Akdana. Amar HaMeimer, 2-3 lines. Amar HaMeimer, the previous piece of Gemara near the top of the Amudah Ma'al, I Pischa de Akrana, this doorway, the Akrana doorway, is Chayv and Mezuzah. So Rav Ashi says to HaMeimer, what are you talking about? There are no Pitzimim. In this case, you're talking, Hakli Vechi and Mezuzah. And Amem responds, no, Adi Pitzimi. They are the Pitzimim. So you're like, what's Shak Vatari here? Adi Pitzimim. There are no Pitzimim. There they are. Like, so it's reminiscent of a certain style of giving Musar Shmuzim. They say, how you talking? That Klai Yisrael could have made a toast in this way. Oh, does that mean you can? You have to work out. It's a good shtickle Torah. You have to work out, well, what changed from the question to the answer. So what changed here? The question to the answer. Rav Ashi says no p'timim, and he says a deep p'timim. So Rashi already explains that what you're dealing with are Rosh Eksalim. This is really the sugya of Rosh Eksalim, of the heads or the ends of the wall. So Rashi gives a scenario, understanding that Akrana is Miloshin Karen, a corner. Rashi says that it looks something like this. So imagine you have a four-wall bias, but you're missing part of the, at one of the corners, you're missing part of each wall. The walls just end. So Amemar said you're chayiv, and Rashi said, I don't see any p'timim here. It's a case with no p'timim, just the wall ends. And Rashi said, I made my response, and that's fine. The Rosh Eksalim are the p'timim. In other words, this is something you will see often in our homes, particularly in the first floor, where there'll be doorways that don't have a separate door frame. Let's say over here, this doorway has a door frame. So you have a wall, then there's a separate frame. You see the posts on the left to the right and the top, they were put in to be a door frame. Same over there. But oftentimes in the first floor of a house, in the living room, dining room, let's say, sometimes in the dining room, the kitchen, you'll just have the walls end. The wall juts out from both sides, from the left and from the right, and it just ends. There's no separate frame that was installed. So that's Rashi says, so Zerub Meimer says, you're chayiv. Why? Because the Rosh Eksalim, equal p'timim. Even though they aren't literally p'timim, are the separate strips of wood that were put in. If you look, we mentioned a while ago, much earlier, Yitzhak Hirschfeld's monograph on the, what was it? Palestinian dwellings in the Roman period. So he points out that that's the way they built the houses, often out of stone, and then they would install, like thick stone walls, and then they would obviously leave a space for the door, leave space for the window, leave space for the door, and then within the door space, they would then install a much thinner wooden frame that you could attach a door to. So those are the wooden frame is the p'timim. If there is no wooden frame, they're just Rosh Eksalim. So Amemar says the Rosh Eksalim counts. Rosh Eksalim counts. I don't need separate actual p'timim. If you have actual p'timim, gavaldik. If not, the wall just ends. That counts as a p'timim. The Rush goes talks about the Kapotas Gemara as well. When the Rush talks about it, he gives a different case, slightly different case, more or less the same, quotes the language of Rashi. The way he describes it is like this. Not that you have four walls and you have missing the corner, you're missing the entire fourth wall. The entire fourth wall totally open. You have three walls and a horseshoe and a U and a Ches, like a Tish, whatever it is. And the fourth side is totally open. The fourth side is totally open. The Rosh says, yeah. And that's what Amemar was talking about. That there, here you see the, here are my Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh says, and those count as Pesimim. Rosh says, here are my Rosh Hashanah. And those count as Pesimim. It's a small, but already significant, potentially significant machlokas between Rashi and the Rosh. The Chazon Ish already points out, because the Chazon Ish has a lot to see to say on these topics, the Tzuras HaPesach part of Hilchos Mezuzah in Yerideya, Simanim Kuf Ayin Aleph, and particularly Simon Kuf Ayin Beis. He has a fascinating comment. He says this is atypical of the Rosh. You have to be the Chazon Ish to point this out. It's uncharacteristic. It's not the derech of the Rosh to disagree with Rashi without explaining why. So here he starts with Rashi, he just sort of gives his own twist, in this case instead of that case, and it doesn't really explain why he's disagreeing with Rashi. But it does seem, l'chora, that he is disagreeing with Rashi in the following way. Both of them are Torah Rosh Hashanah, both of them according to the Gemara by Meimar. The difference is that Rashi's Rosh Hashanah points the ends of the wall protrude, they point towards the door space. By the Rosh Hashanah don't point towards the door space. The Rosh Hashanah point perpendicular to the door space. So that's more of a chiddush. So even this, even the Rosh's case, should be considered a p'tim. It's even more of a chiddush. That's, by the way, why, coming back to where we had gotten into this beforehand, that's because the Rosh has such an expansive view of Rosh Hashanah. So the only situation you could imagine, which is not a p'tzim, is where the wall actually extends further. As the Rosh says, let's say this case, where the wall on the right extends further, and you're taka putter, but if it looked like this, the Rosh would say, you're chayim. Lefi HaRosh, this case is chayim, because there's your Rosh Kosa. Because the Rosh holds that even they don't have to, the protrusion doesn't have to point into the door space. Most of the cases that we see of Rosh Hashanah are Rashi style, or maybe even better, so to speak. Because most of the cases that we have of Rosh Hashanah look like this. Where a mamash, like in between the living room and the dining room, here a mamash protrudes, not even, they aren't even perpendicular to each other. They're from the left and the right, directly pointing towards each other. Both Rosh Hashanah are pointing directly into the door space. Everything is parallel. So that's, not only the Rosh would hold that's Rosh Hashanah, even Rashi would hold that's Rosh Hashanah. It's Lachari even a smoother case than Rashi. Yeah?
According to the Rosh, if you're not putting mezuzah on the outside, where are you placing the mezuzah? Are you putting it on the outside part? Because the ends are not facing each other.
Yeah, that's an interesting question.
And they are facing each
other. Yeah, obviously, that's an interesting question. When you put the mezuzah, let's say this here, the kinesa obviously is like this. When you put the mezuzah on the Rosh Kosa, which is not pointing location A, which that's not pointing toward the Challah Pesach, would you put it location B at right in the Challah Pesach? I'm not.
But if you say B, then Rashi's case is more Pekiddish, because in case B, then they are pointing toward each other.
No, this is more Pashtun. The fact that Rosh Hashanah are pointing toward each other makes them more Pekiddish. Right? You're pointing out Yesh La'ayin, A versus B, Yesh La'ayin. How exactly is a Rosh seeing this as a Pesach? He's saying like ki'ilu, the space is over here, or the whole tip. I'm not sure. Yeah, that's an interesting question. I'm not sure. Now, I said before the Mechaber doesn't even raise this question. Now the Mechaber only dealt with the question of the number of Pitzimim, and that the Mechaber Shulchan Aruch said too. He didn't even talk about this. The tour did, and the Taz, as you see, the Taz is all the pictures. He points out, well, he fills in everything the tour said that the Mechaber didn't. As an aside,
speaking of the tour, Taz filling in the things that the tour said Machaber didn't. My grandfather-in-law, Zichron Levracha, Melech Shechter, told us when he was learning for Smicha here in YU, in how many decades ago was that? It was under Moshe Soloveitchik. May have been before World War II, if I remember correctly. So they didn't have a set of tour. The yeshiva did not own a set of tour, and certainly no Talmidim owned their own tour, out of the question. So they had Shulchan Aruch. So he said they learned Yardaya, reconstructing what the tour in Beis Yosef must have said from what the Taz and the Shach quote. We have Baruch Hashem, we living in the lap of luxury. Baruch Hashem. We take it for granted. You could just go across this farm sale, get 1,001 copies. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. We should appreciate the gifts that we have. We have many, many gifts. So the Taz here fills in. By the way, the tour recorded this whole conversation about that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't have. Shulchan Aruch totally leaves out the whole discussion of Rosh Hashanah. Why does Shulchan Aruch leave it out? Because the Rambam left out. The Rambam seems nowhere. The Rambam seems nowhere to talk about it. It seems to be totally mashmit this whole Gemara of Amemar, Ravashi, and Pischa Dakrana. Adi Pitzimim. Adi Pitzimim does not appear, as far as I can tell, it's not me. Beis Yosef points out that the Rambam never quoted. What's interesting, though, is that Beis Yosef says, at the very end of Sif Aleph, that Beis Yosef says, well, he says that the Rambam was mashmid the whole sugya pischa de akhtana, as he calls it. After the time should be meila mashu shorashik samim chashuvuzes. Maybe it's a davar pashat. That's what he didn't mention, which is surprising. The Beis Yosef should say that. It's so pashat of rashik samim chashuvuzes. Number one, the Gemara's Amemar had a memory about it, and now the Amemar had a memory about it, but Ravashi was shocked, and Amemar had to explain to him, no. You want to tell me it's Machlik, it's Amemar and Ravashi. See, we don't know what Ravashi's response was. So the question is, why is the Rambam being mashmed this Gemara? Now, so the Beis Yosef thing, he's mashmed because it's Pashat. It's not that he disagrees. It's not that he thinks that Rosh Hashanah don't count. So we can handle about what the Rambam holds. L'chora, though, at least, that tells us how, knowing how the Beis Yosef understood the Rambam's Hashmata, might help us at least understand how to say Pshat in his own Hashmata, in the Shulchan Aruch. As the fact that Shulchan Aruch leaves it out, presumably he's following the Rambam, Kedarko, but he told us that he doesn't think the Rambam disagrees, he just throws it down a Pasha. So l'chora, that means the Mechaber is assuming that Rosh Hashanah work. Mechaber is assuming that Rosh Hashanah are chayav. L'chora, because after all, if you plug his pshat in Beis Yosef, the Rambam's Hashmata, into his own Hashmata, presumably that's what he's telling us. It's far from clear, though, that that's the Rambam held. As a matter of fact, Mishkan Yaakov, that referenced in the Maror Mekomos, Mishkan Yaakov is an Or Chaim. He talks about this Or Chaim. Why is he talking about this Or Chaim instead of Yerideya? Because this is the end of a series of a very, very lengthy tshuvas. I stress, very, very, very lengthy tshuvas. A series of several tshuvas about Hilchas Eirvin. And you'll be lezok learn Hilchas Eirvin, Mitzvah Shem. These are very, very significant tshuvas. Back and forth between the Mishkan Yaakov and Rephaim Zal Margolius. And each tshuva starts. Now I'm responding to Rephaim Zal Margolius. What he wrote appears in his Sefer Beis Ephraim, and here's my response. Long, long. The tshuva is like 10, 20 pages apiece. Kirei Nahara, back and forth and back and forth. Then, the last tshuva, after that series of tshuvas, there's a shorter tshuva, Simen Kuf Chav Gimel, in Arachayim, Mishkan Yaakov, Yaakov Karliner, is a brother of the Karen Ora. They are both, I believe, Talmidim in the early days of Velazhin, Talmidim of Chaim Velazhin. So he opens with, it's officially an Erevin tshuva. He wants to know, based on how you read a Gemara in Erevin, and Daf Yud Aleph, do you need Hekar Tzir on Tzuras HaPesach? Imagine that. Is a Gemara that sounds like that? If you needed hinges, and maybe even a door, on every single Tzuras HaPesach, obviously building a metropolitan area would be much, much more complex. Certainly when the Chazon Ish writes, actually, the Chazon Ish also intermingles this, the end of Siman Kuf Ayin Beis, the Siman Kuf Ayin Aleph, Kuf Ayin Beis in Yoreh Day, Hilchos Mezuzah, both are intermingled discussion of Hilchos Mezuzah and Hilchos Erevin. He actually talks here about using the Amudei HaTelegraph and the Chutei HaTelegraph, as before they had electric lines. That was one of the first times whether you could use that for mezuzah or not. The Chazon Ish thinks you can. If you think you need Tzuras HaPesach in each one, you need the Heker Tzir in each one, hinges in each one, obviously that's going to be a little more complicated. So the Mishkan Yaakov has a discussion about that. It's the first Amud or two of the Tshuva. And then he writes, the end of the first columns on page Kuf Nun, he says, I'd like to spend some more time talking about the Dina Pischei Shimoi. And the first topic he has is about this question of the Rosh HaKsalim. Rosh HaKsalim by Erevin, Rosh HaKsalim by Mezuzah. See, he assumes that the Rambam did not hold the Rosh HaKsalim count as Pesimim. Why the Rambam left it out is a good question. It's a Gemara. Why do you leave it out? So it could be that he thought it's a Machlokas Ameim or Rav Ashi Upasim, like Rav Ashi. Maybe. It's hard to know. You look in the Rif. Where's the Rif quote? The Rif does quote the Gemara. The back and forth, the whole Shach Vatariah. With the closing, Adip Tzimin. These are the Tzimin. So it's a little hard to know why. Why it would be so obvious that you should pass them like Rav Ashi? And indeed, the Shilta Giborim here, Os Aleph, on that piece of Rif, quotes from his, it's the quotes the Riaz. The Riaz was a grandson of Rabbi Yishaya Ditrani, the Italian Rishon. His grandson's name was also Yishaya. So to differentiate, instead of calling, they called him Junior. They didn't call him Junior, they called him Achron. Rishaya Achron. So whenever you see Lashon Riaz, Shilta Giborim, Riaz is Ben Yishaya Achron Zal. A lot of the Shilta Giborim is Milaki Rishona, but then he also gives you whole chunks of the language of the Riaz. Riaz quotes from his grandfather here. It sounds like he assumes that Rosh HaKsalim do work. That's what it sounds like. And Daf Vav Amud Aleph Os Aleph in the Shilta Giborim. So why the Rambam leave it out? Why did the Rambam leave it out? So the Mishnah Yaakov actually thinks that most Rishonim, he thinks there's a whole school of Rishonim that agree with the Rambam that we should leave it out. So number one, I think Sage earlier this week was Mechavan to Mishnah Yaakov. Says the Gemara of Achsadra. Gemara of Achsadra sounds like Rosh HaKsalim don't count. Even if you have Ptzimim, but those Ptzimim, the Chizak Tikra, forget about the Chizak Tikra Ptzimim. You have three walls. It certainly seems to fly in the face of the Rosh's version, of, at the very least, the Rosh's version of Rosh HaKsalim. And then he says, the Mishnah Yaakov also points out there seems to be a little bit of a steer in the Shilta Giborim. He doesn't see it as a steer, but certainly the previous Shilta Giborim, the last piece on Haman Beis, also from the Riaz, seems to directly reject the Shita of the Rosh. He says, if you're missing the whole fourth wall, there's no Chiyuv Mezuzah. You got to have a Ptzim. It sounds like a steer. It could be that the Shilta Giborim or the Riaz is really saying like Rashi. You have like this, the Rashi's version, that doesn't work. But if they're actually pointing towards each other, like Rashi, then it does work. Mishnah Yaakov does not read the Shilta Giborim that way, but that might be the simplest reading of the Riaz quote by the Shilta Giborim, perhaps. He also points out, Mishnah Yaakov goes on to say that if you go back to the Gemara with which we started, I told you, I promised that we would go back to, he says, if you dig into the details, it looks like mamish nitty-gritty details how the Rishonim define shikfi and tikra, he thinks licked in there is the key to this. Because he points out, how does it work? You look at Menachos, you look at Erev, and there are different approaches. What's going on with the shikfi and the tikra? Like, here we go back to Lamed Gimel Amid Beis. Again, Rava said, Pitzchi Shimar, Patzah from Mezuzah. What's Pitzchi Shimar is a machlokas, presumably later Amaram, Rav Rechumi and Abba Yossi. One says, when Rava said you're Patzah because you're missing a tikra, the other one said, when you're Patzah, Rava said you're Patzah because you're missing Shakufi. So what are these? What are these? What are these? What's missing exactly? So Rashi, here in Menachos, the two pshatim. Either tikra and shikfi is mashko from mezuzos, or tikra is kipshuto, a roof, and shikfi is mashko. So both sound like the more typical use of those terms. Again, that would, and these two lashonos, as we mentioned before, the Rosh and Mordechai pointed out, a machlo, seems like a machlok is whether you need a roof or not. Is there a rule that you need a roof? And that drives how you understand Shari Chatzeros. And Tosfos, the less little tikra, also understands like the first shot in Rashi, that we're talking about mashko, you need mashko for mezuzos. Not mashko for tikra, you need mashko for mezuzos. Mezuzos and mashko. And then Tosfos goes on to say, what do you mean that you're missing a mashko? What do you mean missing a mashko? How are you missing a mashko? So it says, oh, what that means, now, there is a mashko, but it's just bumpy. Even nichnas ve'even yotze, it's a zigzag. It's not smooth, it's a zigzag. Okay. And that presume that that's what we mean when we say you're missing mezuzah as well. Tosfos says, beferish. Keinyan zed, the less le shikfi, Tosfos lamagil mebeis, she'en sha mezuzos ela ha'avanim boltos, kegon shinei choma. And he goes on to reference that this is a solution to the problem of Shari Chatzeres. There is no din that you need a roof, and that's why Shari Chatzeres are chayiv. And what's this Gemara talking about? The Gemara talking about missing mezuzos, missing a mashko. But what do you, and here's the key nekuda. And what do you mean missing mezuzos, missing mashko? Evan Nechmas Evan Yotze, which the Torah mentioned also. So the Mishkis Yaakov says, one second. So I was more focused on, do you need a ticker or not? But Evan Nechmas Evan Yotze seemed like, okay, so Machlokas Hai Seif Shat. Machlokas Hai Seif Shat. Mishkis Yaakov says, stop and pay attention to Tosfos. He said, Cohen, Mishkis Yaakov writes, stop, pay attention to Tosfos. You know what Tosfos is saying? Tosfos is saying that Rosh Sheikh Solomon, okay. Because Tosfos is, if you talk about Evan Nichols and Evan Yotze, what do you obviously not have? A separate patim. I mean, the wall itself is a zigzag. There's no patim. And not only is there obviously in that case no patim, but more. In other words, the only cases they could imagine that's, how are you missing mezuzos? Tosfos, what do you mean missing mezuzos? There's nothing there. Sort of like the Russia's problem. What do you mean pitzim yimin, pitzim yismal? What's going on the other side? It just disappears, vaporizes? So the Russia's solution should be, there must be a straight wall. So there's mamash no Rosh Koso whatsoever. And you don't have it either side. You just have walls on both sides. It's just not a Pesach. So how are you missing mezuzos? So that's why, how do you miss a mashko? So that's why Tosfos' solution is, it must be, it's not even a normal Rosh Kosel. So I was like, if it would be a normal Rosh Kosel, it was with a smooth side, which by the way is what the Shilta Giborim says also. It says, talks about smoothing it down to make a nice smooth side. That's a beautiful Rosh Kosel, and that's chayiv. It doesn't count if it's Pitzchei Shimoi, if it's a weird malformed, deformed doorway. What do you mean deformed? I mean, it doesn't even go straight. If you had a beautiful straight Rosh Hashanah, that would be chayiv.
If it's Evan Nichnas, Evan Yotze, it's like teeth, it's zigzag, like dog teeth. So then you're a potter. You see from Tosis to Mishnah points out. If you read Tosis slowly and carefully, see that Tosis held that Rosh Sheikh Salim would be chay. And then Mishnah goes on to say, so that's saying Rambam Lashitaso understands that we're not talking about walls at all. We're not talking about mezuzos. Tikra means a roof, and Shikfi means the bashkof, because of course you need to see them on the side. There's nothing to talk about. That's not even a shaila. So Mishkas Yaakov goes on to then he takes his toes to take a careful look at the ritva in Erevin. Again, as I mentioned before, Pischei Shimoi. This Gemara Pischei Shimoi shows that both here Lamed Gimel and Beis. In Menaches also shows up on Daf Yud Aleph in Erevin. So he thinks that also supports this approach. The Mishnas Yaakov thinks, he argues that that there are many, many Rishonim who think you need mezuzos gemuros for the Pesach. He lines them up. He said, look, he thinks that you should he thinks halacha lemaisa that if you have a case of Rosh Sheikh Salim, you should put it also, it's a suffix chiv, it's a properly bracha. As we said before, Mechaber doesn't quote it, but the Mechaber himself thinks that the Rambam didn't mention it because it's Pashto that's Chayim. So the Hashmatas HaShulchan Aruch would have indicated that Rosh Sheikh Salim is Chayim and Mezuzah, and that there's no Machlokas. The Mishkas Yaakov, here gives you a long list in the end of the second column of page Kof Nun. He says, the Ritva holds your Pater, he Ritva called his Rabbi the Ra'ah, and then the Rihazaki and the Riyaz, the Shulte Giborim, which again the Mishkas Yaakov thinks that they all don't agree with Rosh Sheikh Salim, and that's the Mashmos for the Ram and the Rif, and that's a simple reading of the Gemara. The Mishkas Yaakov is very convinced of this. So it says it's a Safik Bracha. Look, many more Rishonim than Tosis, the Rosh, and the Torah. Okay, now again, as I said before, Yesh LaFak Peka, a number of those, calls. One could definitely argue that the Riaz B'Shem, his grandfather, the Rid, actually hold a Rosh Sheikh Salim. They just don't hold Rosh's version of Rosh Sheikh Salim. They might hold Rosh's version of Rosh Sheikh Salim. The Rif, it's hard to know. The Rif did quote the Gemara. The Rambam didn't. I think the Halacha L'maisa, that's how we assume that you put up, when you have Rosh Sheikh Salim, but you live in the dining room, even if there is a door frame between living in the dining room, usually we'll put up without a mezuzah because there's no door. And the Rambam holds you need a door also. But certainly, if there's no doorpost, and there's just the wall's end. So that is this case of Rosh Sheikh. Again, the typical case of Rosh Sheikh Salim is Rashi style, where the tips are pointing into the door space. So there certainly we would put up a mezuzah, albeit without a bracha. There's more to talk about here. Three more nakudos in the details of Rosh Sheikh Salim. I'll mention two very brief ones, and then the third one we'll leave for next time. I'll just tell you what it is, where you want to go, what you want to look at. At one point, is just a ha'ara that Rabbi Eitan Orlian had made to me probably 20 years ago. He pointed out that there seems to be a triple machlokas Rosh and Rambam, and they all seem to sort of cohere or coalesce into a single larger machlokas. The Rambam holds you need two doorposts.
The Rosh Hashanah, you only need one. The Rambam holds you need real Torah posts, and the Rosh Hashanah's Rosh Hashanah suffice. The Rambam holds you need a door, and the Rosh Hashanah's you don't. So Yesh La'ayin, he points out, there are three types of machloksin, but they might really be, like, the Rambam holds you need Mamash like a deluxe door. You need real door frames on both sides with a door. And the Rosh, like, so this is the other extreme. The left side you need nothing, on the right side it's enough just to have Rosh Koso, and you don't need a door. Yesh La'ayin, whether there's a larger machlokas here about whether you're a maximalist or a minimalist on Suras HaPesach, particularly in the world of Hilchos Mezuzah. That's one further ha'ara in the world of Rosh Hashanah. Another further ha'ara in the world of Rosh Hashanah is an important point that the Chovetz Hadar sends you to Chazon Ish, and Rosh Hashanah pointed out that Rav Moshe Feinstein holds this way as well, that the just as we require Rosh Hashanah from the side, for mezuzos, if you have no protrusion, the wall just goes straight past, that's not a Rosh Kosel, and you're not chayv, you don't have anything on the right side. The same should be true for the mashkof also. There has to be something dropping. There has to be something coming down. If it's just the ceiling extends, there are posts who would disagree, especially if you think that mashkof comes from tikra. Okay, well, what to think about there. But we assume, like the Ramesh and the Chazon Ish, that you need a protrusion from the right, at the very least, and you need a protrusion coming down from the ceiling. And moreover, they have to be aligned with each other. If they're off, they're potter. So let's say, looking at what we were pretending before, that this is the pitzim, and this is the wall, even if this were to be a pitzim, in this case you'd be potter because there's no drop. So whenever you're looking at a doorway, you're always looking to see, you want to figure out directions, and so then you can then look and see, is there a pitzim on the right side, or at least a protrusion of Rosh Kosel on the right side pointing into the door space? And is there an aligned drop from the top that would count as a mashkof that's dropping, protruding downward into the door space, and that is aligned with your pitzim imen? Yeah?
Does it actually need to drop, or can it just stop? Because by the Rosh's case, by the wall, we didn't say it doesn't.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm not. My impression is the poskim are not necessarily a question that maybe we'll leave for next time. Because here's what I talk about the one point here that we'll leave for next time. One thing to think about is are we machmir for the pure rush? We mamish have the rush exam that point perpendicular, the end perpendicular, and that brings us to another issue. Which is, and this is what I want to pick up with next time, Rav Shem, and a show of hand. How many of you looked at the Gemara in Erevin? Sadi Beis. Erevin, Sadi Beis? Some yes, some not. Okay, good. So Rav Shem, for the next week, we'll have more Marmar Kamos coming on Sif Beis. But you may want to dig deeper into Sadi Beis as well in the following way. Sadi Beis is we have a big room and a small room that open into each other, Chatzah Gedolah, Chatzah Ketanah. So something that the post can raise is, what if you have a room like this? It's a nifras below on the fourth side, but the walls don't end here. The Rush's classic case is the walls end. Let's put it over here. But how about instead, if looks like this. If the room ends and then the walls angle away, is that better? Is that worse? You chayv or you pater? And there seems to be a three-way machlokas, a contemporary poskim, whether here you're chayv or pater. Could be a three-way machlokas, not yes, no machlokas, but some would say, no, there are really two separate questions. Are you chayv the kinesis like this and going into the small room? Are you chayv the kinesis like that going into the larger room? And that's a question that is somewhat complicated and important. Gemara in Erevin, daf tzadi beis, a wraps from tzadi beis and all tzadi beis and a beis. That Gemara comes up in the Gemara. It explicitly relates this question of a small room that totally flows into a big room. The Gemara has a whole host of nafkaminas. This is relevant to a wide range of topics. The Gemara says, Beferish to get to Hilchus Tefila, to Tziruf Laminyan. Comes up sometimes, you have a minyan, a Rahman, son of Shiva home. Actually, in a very happy situation. We were on a trip in the Golan this past summer, and we were davening outside, and it was mamish. I realized we're mamish in that it was like an outdoor mall, and there was sort of like a little indentation. So some of us were in the indentation, and some of us were outside. She goes, that's mamish the case that the Gemara has. Chatzik gadol, chatzik tam. She goes, take a look at the Gemara. Even the Gemara talks about what's the relationship between the small room and the big room. So you'll see the Gemara has a lot of examples. What you want to think about is, how does that play out in Hilchus Mezuzah? Does Mechayv you this way, Mechayv you that way, both, neither? This comes up. This comes up in alcove. Shaped like this comes up every once in a while. So that's an important child. That's the, sort of the last hanging issue in the world of Rosh Hashanah. It will leave B'li Nedar for next week's Chabura. So you want to, if you haven't seen the Gemara Erevin yet, you can see it over the course of the week. If you have, you can go back to it. And then as well, in the coming week, we're going to be focused on Sif Beis, which is a sugya in Yuma that will also bring us to Erevin. I believe, if I remember correctly, Daf Yud Aleph in both Yuma and Erevin. In terms of what do you do when you have doorways that are rounded? You have an archway. There are multiple sides that come with an archway. You got to think about. And then beyond that, we're already going to be... as I mentioned at the beginning, moving maybe even the coming week, or certainly not, if not, then certainly the following week, moving to the topics in the Reish Sadi Aleph about Bedikas HaMezuzah, about taking the Mezuzah with you, some more about the Spiros. Pesachei Tshuva has a host of fascinating issues in the Reish Sadi Aleph. Reish Sadi Aleph officially, it seems like it's a potpourri, a miscellany of different topics, because Reish Sadi Aleph is all the diyum that apply after you raise kaveh and mezuzah. Up until this point, the first six simanim, reish behet to reish tadi, is putting up the mezuzah. Are you chayiv? How you write it? How you, da, 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 where you put it up? And now the last simon reish off is okay. What are the diyum of ongoing maintenance? So it's the bedikah, so the taking it down, and so on and so forth. Yishkoyach chevra.